Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Monday, Victory Monday. A couple of touchdowns for Kayshawn Booty yesterday, Keefe.
Yeah, look good.
I like one of the answers Hunter Henry gave us earlier today. You were asking him about, you know, different guys stepping up week to week. It had been Diggs the last couple of weeks. Booty had the big game week one. He had a touchdown week two. Pop Douglas made some plays yesterday. Yeah. Henry's had some big games mixed in there. And he's like, well, yeah, that's what a good offense does. Good offense, different guys step up. They try to take different guys
I was
away.
Like, oh, that's right. We haven't seen that in a while.
I didn't.
It's been a
what
long time. Like. I mean, all those numbers, you know, that Steph Diggs was, he's the first guy since Edelman in 2019 to have back-to-back 100-yard games in the same season. And you think about modern NFL, how many receivers end the year with 1,000 yards? They also haven't had one since 2019.
Right.
But just 200-yard games. I mean, those are good games. Don't get me wrong. 100-yard game is a good game. But like for it to take six seasons for that to happen, like, no, we're not really used to watching this.
It's true.
Before it was like all the time, you know, especially as, you know, when Tom Brady, 07 on, it became like video game numbers and you would have, you know, multiple 1,000-yard receivers that felt like, and you'd have guys with double-digit touchdowns and like the insane numbers Gronk and Edelman and Welker and Moss and all those guys would put up. And then it's been a while. But no, the fact that Kayshawn Booty is capable of like a game like yesterday, or even go back to the Bills game. Not a great game, but an awesome catch and like a huge grab.
Yeah.
And so it just feels like Drake May now has way more guys he can count on than he doesn't. Like, even if he had one guy he was comfortable with, I'd be like, oh, that's one more than last year. But now it feels like three guys. I'm not going to put Pop on there yet. He had a good game yesterday and some good broken plays and should have been a second touchdown. But I think Diggs, Booty, and Henry, Drake May feels like if he needs a third down throw, he can go to any of those guys and he's going to get it.
And he's had good chemistry with Booty.
Yeah.
And you really think about it. You saw it late last year. We saw it in the offseason as well. He started pretty far down the depth chart when Vrabel first got here.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, Vrabel called him out for conditioning early on when he was here. And, you know, Booty was, what'd you call him, the octopus? With like all the bets he had on himself.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah.
He had like an 8-leg parlay on himself.
He did have an 8-legger. Did not hit,
and
sadly.
He talked about some of this after the game. He's like, you know, I had some character concerns, some off-field stuff, and I was the number one
receiver.
He
thought he was going to be a first-round pick, and then a sixth-round pick.
I fell to a sixth-rounder, and I give him a lot of credit for where he started, specifically with this new coaching staff. Never mind all the other stuff in his past, but specifically with this coaching staff. Down the depth chart. And they bring in some new names, some new receivers, and in Diggs and Hollins, and Pop Douglas was higher than him on the depth chart.
Yeah, he's moved past. I mean,
they drafted Kyle Williams.
Well, even last year, Polk and Baker, and like going in, like draft status wise, those guys were both drafted higher than Booty, but he's so much better.
And
than
when we were talking about him in the offseason, we had him lumped in with those guys. It's like, like probably won't even make the team.
People are like, oh, well, Efton Chisholm. Like, now you got Efton Chisholm over him?
Behind Kendrick Bourne, who, by the way, had another good week. And they moved on from.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he was behind a ton of guys in what looked like a pretty pedestrian receiver room, and he has just consistently worked his way up it, which I think is a credit to him. Speaking of those numbers, Keith, this one's not, it doesn't pop quite as much as first 1,000-yard receiver since Julian Edelman.
No.
Booty became the first Patriot to score multiple touchdowns.
I'm listening.
Of 25 or more yards.
Okay.
In the same game.
Right.
Since Philip Dorsett in 2019.
I would have said Dante Stallworth.
So another
deep threat.
Another stat that we haven't seen since Brady was here, just
Philip
to put it a different
can scoot.
Way. Yeah, yeah.
He was a first round pick.
Sometimes. He didn't always catch it so high.
No.
But he can scoot.
No, kind of a lousy receiver overall.
So I give Booty a lot of credit for that. And I give Drake May credit for spreading the football around. And we were worried, all right, is Stephon Diggs going to let down in this game? And maybe he did, maybe he didn't. 151-yard catch where he maybe or maybe didn't push off up the right sideline on a third and long could change the outlook on Diggs' day quite a bit.
Oh, definitely.
But, okay, fine. Diggs dropped off. And if you told me going into the game, Steph Diggs is going to come out with three catches for 28 yards,
yeah,
I'd be like, oh, maybe they don't win this
game. They might not win.
And if you coupled that with they didn't run the football.
They can't run.
So maybe if he had three catches for 28 yards, I go, okay, well, they must have run all over New Orleans. And the answer to that is nope. And they still won? Yeah, I think I would have felt pretty good about that if you told it to me before yesterday's game.
Yeah, no, I think so. Because, I mean, Diggs had awesome back-to-back games. And I was like, we even made this prediction, I think, last week. Like, Diggs might not have another 100-yard game for 5 or 6 weeks. Like, I don't think he's going to do that all the time. I think he is more of the 750, maybe 1,000-yard guy. He's not like a 1,500-yard receiver anymore. Like, you're not going to roll out of bed 100 yards and a touchdown, which is like what he did every week with the Bills for like three straight years. So he's not that, but he still has some of that left in the tank. And it just feels like, all right, teams see that. They're probably going to spend a lot of time, a little bit more attention on Steph Diggs, which then leads to Kayshon Boutte. And we played the clip earlier. I love when Drake May was saying, one-on-one means you're open in the NFL. So anytime a receiver, any of their guys get lined up with one-on-one, he'll try to find that matchup and get on the ball.
Well, I think Boutte said, too, he's like, I'm pretty good in those contested catches. So okay. It's like, good. You know, he didn't
Well, they are. I mean,
is it the Devontae Parker? I was just going to say that. Ball?
He didn't go Devontae Parker, where he's like a 50-50. He's actually 80-20 for me.
For the defense?
Whoops.
Yeah.
But he's like, nah, I think I'm pretty good in those settings and may clearly trust him in those settings.
Well, right. And, like, he averaged 18.6 yards a catch, and he was also 5 catches on 5 targets. So it's like, you're not just dinking and dunking when it comes to Kayshon Boutte. And he completed every throw he had to him. 2 touchdowns, massive first down in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, that was a good game. That was a signature game for him.
It was. And that was a good challenge, as we said earlier,
by
Vrabel on that catch. Okay, that's some positivity on the Patriots and their offense, their wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Let Mike Reese be the bearer of bad news.
Oh, no.
I was shocked when I read this yesterday.
Oh, boy.
ESPN kind of does a roundup of all the games. The beat writer who covers the local team will then have a few thoughts on it, right?
Right. Yep.
So this wasn't like in his game story. This wasn't in a column after the game, any of that. His first bullet point after the Patriots win yesterday in New Orleans, are the Patriots putting too much on Drake May? The lack of a consistent run game made the Patriots one-dimensional as the offense relied on May's arm and a growing knack for making clutch passing plays when things break down. The silver lining, Reese says, is that the team's pass protection has improved to a point that airing it out can still be a winning formula, with May's scrambling ability producing unscripted rushing yards. But the glass half empty view, Reese, so negative.
Yikes!
But the glass half empty view is that a team playing in the Northeast is likely going to need to run the ball later in the year when the weather turns cold. How big of a problem is their running game or lack of a running game?
Yeah, I think it's a problem. Now, I think if Drake May is as good as everybody thinks he is, he may be able to overcome it. You look at Cincinnati, for example, and everyone's sort of pointing to them now because that whole offense is Joe Burrow to Chase and Higgins, and they have no running game. They have no running game to speak of, and then you take Burrow out, and you're like, hey, we got to run the ball. It's like, we can't. Like, they're in trouble. But if the quarterback's that good, you might be able to get away with it.
Right. High-end comp, Mahomes.
Mahomes.
The Chiefs cannot run the football. Mahomes is their leading rusher,
yeah.
But Mahomes makes up for it because
Seattle doesn't run
good.
The ball great, and Sam Darnold's having a really good year. Pittsburgh, and I know we were surprised to learn this because I think they had a couple of good running games, but overall Pittsburgh has worse stats, average yards per game, average yards per carry than the Patriots. And Aaron Rodgers has lost one game so far. Now, they're 4-1. They've had a bye week in there, but still, like, there are a few teams that the quarterback's the most important player, right? And that we've made this case a bunch about if you're going to get a lot out of Drake May or if he's going to be a hit of a pick, he shouldn't have to have everything else around him be good. Otherwise, just get any quarterback. Get a regular quarterback that's NFL caliber, and if he has 10 all pros with him, he'll be fine. But if you don't and you have to overcome something, well, that's where the great quarterback can sort of carry that team. So it needs to improve, but also he's looked like he can kind of handle it. So, obviously, you want everything to be better than what it is, right? But I don't think it's the end of the world. I think, you know, ideally, he's not your leading rusher, because that means that none of the other running backs were able to get any kind of thing going, and they kind of struggled, or there was, like, a little bit of a, you know, a round table of different guys getting a crack at it. But I think you can get by with that. And I think you know, he's kind of proven it over the last several weeks.
I also think you should be able to figure that out, right? In season, it's got to be a lot easier than fixing your pass game in the middle of the year. Like, I feel like they've done the more difficult thing. And we got the caller earlier who's like, well, how come there's no criticism for Doug Marrone? I'm like, I think on balance, Marrone, they need to fix the run game, but they're protecting in the pass game way better than I thought. Way better. So I think that's why you don't hear any flack for the O-line coach. They're protecting May pretty well. And I'd have to imagine the easier thing to fix in season is the run game, but they got to fix it. Because yesterday, the rushing was brutal. Drake May was their leading rusher, 28 yards. He was their leading rusher on yards per carry, too, 3.1. And that factors in kneel downs at the end of the game that knocked him down.
Yeah, right.
Travion Henderson was 3 yards a pop, 9 for 27.
Nah, not good enough.
Ramondre Stevenson.
How'd he do?
13 for 18.
Terrible.
With a
just
long
fall down forward, you're probably going to get that.
A 7, which I don't remember. When the hell did he get a 7-yard carry?
I don't remember the 7. Well, I think I was so focused on him not fumbling that he probably carried the pile for a couple yards, and you're just like looking at it, and you're like, oh, thank God he held on to it.
Well, and you said this earlier. The guy, Ramondre icing out the game, quote-unquote.
It's terrifying.
He's not running anywhere, but it is horrifying.
Was the 7 the very first carry of the game?
Good question.
They immediately lost like 4?
No idea.
I thought that was a 5-yarder off the rip, but either way, it was probably something like that. But then, yeah, then there was just nothing doing. At some point, it has to be on the backs. Like they're not doing anything.
So if you're asking me whose fault, I do think it's the running back's fault. We read you some of those numbers from Phil Perry last week. Next gen stats, space created or yards before contact created. The offensive line isn't great,
no,
but it's middle of the pack. I think they were 14th in the NFL. The backs and all of those advanced analytics are bottom of the league.
But Henderson looks like a different player than camp and preseason.
He glitched out.
He did.
He glitched out in his pass blocking.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's affecting him because he went in and everyone's like, oh, he's such a good pass blocker and he doesn't need a red shirt like James White and Shane Vereen. He's going to hit the ground running. And then he was bad at that. He's losing playing time because he can't pass block. And now I wonder if he's just in his head. And he's like so worried about where he needs to be, like what the plays are that he can't even just play.
Vrabel had his press conference earlier today. He talks to Greg. I want to play you something from that coming up. But Vrabel had his press conference earlier today, mm-hmm. and he was asked about that. Is Ramondre, not Henderson, but is Ramondre in his head too much?
Well, yeah, both
because
of
the fumbling.
Like yeah.
And yeah, Vrabel's like, yeah, I think they are. I think those guys are, which is how it looks.
They need to give somebody else a crack.
Meanwhile, Vrabel was asked about a lot of things. It was about Drake May and his development and his relationship with Josh McDaniels and who gets credit for how Drake May is coming along. And Vrabel answered this in a couple of different parts. But let's hear the first chunk about who deserves the most credit. Is it McDaniels? Is it May for Drake May's year two development?
Well, I would say that the credit goes to Drake. That's what it always go to. It's not going to go to anybody other than the player that's doing that and improving and understanding and making the plays. His ability to throw off platform and extend and keep his eyes downfield. You know, there were some things that we asked him to work on that Josh and Ashton asked him to work on coming out of Buffalo. I felt like he tried to do that. And then when he had to extend, have the ability to extend. But I think his receivers, I think he trusts those guys. I think he trusts to spread it around. I think he, you know, doesn't mind, you know, giving them a chance and putting it in some place where they can get it. And so I think that that's a great combination between Drake's personal development and trust in the receivers.
Okay. So Drake deserves a lot of credit, his trust in the receivers. They're coming along really well. Oh, by the way, Josh and Ashton.
Yeah.
Ashton right. Grant, you're going to hear more from him. Asked him to work on some stuff after the Bills game, and he did. So he was asked directly about Josh McDaniels, and he wouldn't really give any credit there. He kind of finished his answer, and I think you'll hear Greg start to ask a next question. And then he's like, oh, by the way, I meant to answer your question about the relationship between Drake May and Josh McDaniels. Yeah. So here's how that went.
Oh, okay.
When you were thinking about taking this job.
And I think the relationship, you talked about Josh. I think the relationship is great. I think, you know, we have a young quarterback coach that we feel very strongly about in Ashton Grant. And I think he serves a different purpose than Josh. Josh has one relationship with the quarterbacks, and I think Ashton has another. And I think that's a good dynamic. I think Josh continues to put things on their plate, and especially Drake.
Okay.
Good plate talk once again. Circle back to that. That might be an all-season thing.
More plate talk. You're right.
Him bringing up Ashton Grant. So Ashton Grant is a young assistant, quarterback's coach. He was in Cleveland last year working with Vrabel. Yeah. So he's like a very Vrabel guy, as are really all the guys.
Basically every single coach not named Josh McDaniel. Yeah.
Right, like everybody's brought in. And I mean, most of the years, I would say, I haven't gone back and looked at this, but most of the years Josh McDaniels was offensive coordinator for the Patriots, he was also the quarterback coach. And so this is a little bit of a different dynamic. One thing that Vrabel has been consistent with, though, all year long is anytime he's asked about a player and like if they do well, like he gives the players credit. Yep. He's not giving himself credit. He's not giving any of the defensive assistants credit, the offensive assistants. But it is just something that is curious, like this relationship, how it's going to go. When you're winning, I think it's easy to be fine. He even made a comment about that later on, about something else, but I think it applies to this too. So they're winning. It's rolling right along. But it is odd. He got to pick his entire staff. We don't think he really got to pick him. And now Drake May's doing really well. And, you know, how much of that is Josh McDaniels? How much of that is the whole operation? How much of that is the player himself? Like, all that comes into question.
Well, and just, again, does it mean anything at the end of the day? Maybe not. I mean, the offense is, I think, rolling on some levels. It wasn't great in the second half yesterday. They're not running the football well. But in general, I feel pretty good about the offense. So it may not matter. But just know, he was asked directly and even circled back directly to a question asked about Josh McDaniels, and multiple times he brought up Ashton Grant, the quarterback's coach, the good cop to McDaniels' bad cop, it seems, who Vrabel, as Keith pointed out, brought with him from Cleveland, and he made sure to let you know it was about the players, which he's done consistently, and not the coaches, on a question about the coaches, specifically the one he didn't hire. So make of it what you will, read into it what you will, but that's what happened this morning on Greg's show. If you missed any of Mike Vrabel, by the way, check it out on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone, free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Just use the rewind feature on the Audacy app to go back to listen to Mike Vrabel. You can also catch Drake May today at 4 o'clock on WEEI Afternoons, part of a Patriots Monday. You can listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. Matt's in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? That officiating crew from yesterday, they have averaged 18 penalties called in this previous 5 games. That was really something else. Good for Booties. 2 touchdowns going back to New Orleans. But first time Henderson touched the ball in preseason, I'm sure you guys remember, 100 yards to the house. I immediately put a bet in for him to win Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. But anyway, do you think
What's the cash out option on that? Yeah, you want to bail.
Yeah, that's not looking great. But obviously, doesn't sound like they have anyone in the practice squad. Obviously, you mentioned like trying to trade for a running back on a bad team, but you got undrafted free agents, rookie free agents. I mean, they got to start working some guys out behind the scenes. They got to get some guys in there. Thanks.
Yeah, they worked out a kid from Miami who was drafted by Seattle. So he was a 7th-round pick, I think, but he was actually drafted. He wasn't an undrafted guy. They worked him out last week. I know some of the beat writers, our guy Taylor Kyles included, were kind of buzzing about him. I think Phil was as well. I hope they aim a little higher than that.
Yeah, make a trade.
But you should be able to upgrade that position and fix the running game. And I wonder if part of the reason Vrabel is hesitant to give McDaniels a whole lot of credit is they suck at running the football. And I don't know. Maybe we can give I know the McDaniels mafia wants to. We can give McDaniels a lot of credit for what he's done with Drake May. Maybe Drake May is just pretty good. And the offensive coordinator, whoever it is, just along for the ride with Drake May. And maybe Vrabel looks at it where he's like, well, we have the quarterback. Fix the running game, Josh. And then maybe I'll give Josh some credit. But in the meantime, May's pulling plays out of his ass. He's hucking it 50 yards downfield every play. And my offensive coordinator can't seem to fix the run game.
Yeah.
Where we're running draws on 3rd and long down in field goal range, which sucked. We run on 1st down pretty much every time in the second half. Run into the middle of the line for nothing. Pretty much every drive in the second half. And I wonder if that's some of his agitation, if there is any, with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, because it feels like, you know, going into the year, we thought the running back position might be the strongest of the offensive positions, and it's the worst. Like,
yeah, what were we calling it?
The Cerberus backfield. Many, not just us.
Many people were calling
Cerberus
it.
Cerberus backfield.
That's true.
And obviously one of the heads has been removed.
It's been lopped off.
It's been lopped off, which is sad and tough to go through. But you might want to add somebody. You know, it was just, 3 years ago, Christian McCaffrey was an in-season trade. And so, like, that was a big-time trade, a big player going from one team to another in a contending-type team. And that's another part of this whole thing, is if the AFC is as wide open as we all think it is, and your quarterback is playing even better than you thought that he might in year two, it might be the time to take advantage of that. And the deadline's whatever it is, 3-4 weeks. You have time to do it, but take a look around, see who's out of it, and be willing to make a big swing. Like, we had a caller mention Nick Chubb. Yeah, okay. 4 years ago, that would have been a big swing. Now it's like another guy to add to the backfield. I don't know if that really changes things, but maybe there's somebody out there that we haven't even really considered that might cost you a couple draft picks. You might have to pay him a few bucks.
Yeah, and
but it might be worth it.
Regardless, even if you're not aiming that high, and I'm fine with aiming that high, even if you're not, that you can upgrade your room. You can get another body in the room.
Oh, 100%.
And it looks like you're going to have to, because Ramondre doesn't have it, and when he does have it, he's fumbling everywhere.
Henderson is just...
And Travion Henderson has shown zero to this point.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Grab Bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Another week, another near hit on the Bozo touchdown parlay.
So close.
You had Tet McMillan.
Yeah, that cashed. Yeah.
That might have been it for
might
the fellas.
Have been. No, that was it.
So we have an updated, I've been keeping tabs of this this season.
Did you guys know Keith has been doing this in secret? He's been tracking how everyone's doing on the Bozo touchdown.
It's not
a
secret.
I was unaware this was being tracked, but
it's
okay.
It's not a secret. Yeah. I'm telling everybody right now. Jones, to his credit, has hit 4 out of 6
Hell yeah.
Touchdowns.
Nice.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
I've hit 3 out of 6
That's fine.
That's half.
Yeah.
Every other week, I'm giving you a winner.
Some are up, some are down.
Give or take.
Spot and dimes, eating onions.
Nick is 2 for 6
Okay.
Not as strong.
Yeah, there's
a couple winners, though.
Yeah.
He got a couple hits.
Yeah.
Billy and Terp have also participated and have not yet hit a touchdown.
Eeks. All right, so we're gonna need them to mix it. We're gonna need you boys to mix in a couple of wins,
get a couple dubs.
Okay, well, so they both have. So,
but it has to happen in the week I also get it right, which is about a 50% hit rate.
And Nick, and then we got to make sure it's not one of the weeks where I pick Jameson Williams and he has one target.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So we got to do it. But
all around it, though, I would say.
Long story short, the best we could have done any week, and we did it one week, was 3 out of 5 because.
Yeah.
we're still waiting for Billy and Nick to get one
correct.
Right. Okay. All right.
That's it.
All right.
Terp.
I'm sorry, Billy and Terp.
How dare you?
Sorry, Billy and Terp is what I meant to say.
Throwing Nick under the bus.
Sorry.
Jones and Keefe are grabbing bags every day from 10 to 2. Twitch is such a healthy chat. Because I'm Mr. Grab Bag.
You mentioned the survivor pool, Jones. That's another thing that you and I are still taking part in.
Yeah, just us.
Wins again.
Yeah.
Couple dubs.
Yeah, you had an easier win than me. I was sweating that one out.
Well, you went with a tougher game. What'd you go with?
I went Colts at home against the Cardinals and Jacoby Brissett. Didn't sound that tough.
All right. Well, so we move on. I had the Packers. They didn't cover, but they won. That's the beauty of a survivor pool. So we live to play another day.
Okay.
Yep.
This is loneliness and loneliness is cleanliness and cleanliness. And guys,
grab bag
just like me.
All right, we have the announced team for the Patriots Titans, the Mike Vrabel Bowl, Sunday in Tennessee, 1 o'clock kickoff. CBS.
I may have seen this. Can I guess?
You can guess. I mean, if you've seen it, it's not really a guess.
No, but
reading it.
I'm trying to remember if this is what I saw.
All right, what'd you see?
It's Andrew Catalan, is that right?
It is Andrew Catalan.
Nice.
Charles Davis and Jason McCourty.
Oh.
With A.J. Ross on the sideline.
Well, that's good analysis on the sideline, A.J. Ross.
Yep.
I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't recall.
Three-man booth.
Hmm.
Only the big games get the three-man booth.
Was this the
crew that we had when the game didn't work against the Dolphins?
Yep. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. I couldn't remember the game. We've definitely had this crew once this year.
The quarter had no sound.
Good point. So maybe more important than who's doing the game, like what's the camera situation? It was the audio feed. We're even going to hear these people. We don't know.
It's hard to be worse than Spiro and Arch. And Aditi. Don't leave her out.
Aditi.
It's hard to be worse than them.
Yeah, Spiro and Arch is a tough go.
Yeah.
Although Chris Myers.
That might be worse.
Chris Myers is tough.
That might be the pit. Right. That's the pits, yeah.
Who's with, I don't like J.J. Watt that much. But isn't he's with.
Watt's with Eagle.
Eagle, though. Yeah. Eagle's good. Yeah. But yeah, I don't love Watt.
There goes my grab bag. Watch it as it grabs.
Take a look at the Major League Baseball playoffs, Jones. They still go on, even though the Red Sox are out. The Yankees are out.
Yeah, once the I was barely even into that Yankees series, but I was watching a little bit. I haven't kept up really since they got knocked out.
You didn't go soup to nuts on this game? Game no. One ALCS yesterday. The no. Seattle Mariners defeated the Blue Jays by a score of 3-1. Tonight, doubleheader. You have both CSs in action. ALCS at 5:03.
Okay. That's a big game. When you're starting the ALCS at 5:03, you know baseball's back.
So it is in Toronto once again for Mariners and Jays. Logan Gilbert on the hump for Seattle opposite Trey Yesavage.
Yesavage?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. He was really good in that series against the Yankees.
He was real nice. And then at 8:08, you have Dodgers and Brewers. This is game one of the NLCS. Blake Snell, who's been really good in the postseason, going up against undecided Milwaukee.
They're still not decided?
They have yet to decide.
I would decide Milwaukee.
I mean, they have till 8.
I would figure it out.
You're saying they should pick a starter for the game?
I mean, by now, well, I would let somebody know that they might be starting the game.
Right now, they don't have anybody lined up for that. Who do you have making the World Series now?
I have Seattle and the Dodgers.
In the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I took the Dodgers in the preseason, so I'll just keep them, I guess.
He did really slip that in there. Yeah,
I did have the Royals, I believe, meeting them on the other side, so that one did not work. I'll take Dumper to turn around.
Yeah.
I'll get the Mariners.
He won last night, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We had that. We had that before. Looking forward to it. College football Sunday, Jones. No Bill Belichick, so we can't keep track of what the Tar Heels were up to. They had a bye week. Mm. He is playing Friday against Cal.
He's Friday night game.
Friday night, 10:30 p.m. kick.
That's a good time slot for them.
Pour yourself an extra cup of coffee and get ready for.
Hopefully, everybody's already passed out drunk. They don't have to watch them at 10:30 on a Friday night. Yeah,
that's exactly what you're going to get. I think he's coaching that game, though. There was some speculation whether or not he's going to coach that game. He said it's false, the reports that he's trying to get out of there.
Well, he thinks the leaks are actually coming from New England, is what he thinks.
Of course.
He thinks the Crafts, probably Jonathan,
of course,
are bad-mouthing him, which I'm sure they are.
No way.
I guarantee they are. I'm just not sure they're doing it to WRAL in North Carolina, but that's what Bill thinks is going on.
Number one, Ohio State remains undefeated. They beat number 17, Illinois. Number 3, Oregon.
Ooh,
first loss of the season. And number 7, Indiana.
Tough one for the Jones
household.
They're
pretty good.
Shout out. Nick highlighted this Indiana quarterback like weeks
ago. Fernando Mendoza's good.
He looked great.
He's really good. Any other games jump out at you? Oh, Texas. Arch Manning in Texas won the Red River rivalry.
Yeah, not shootout.
Can't say that.
No. That's no.
I thought that might come back.
Well,
thought maybe that would come back.
Yeah, it's on his list, I'm sure.
But they beat number 6 Oklahoma 23-6. Alabama beat Missouri in a battle of top 15 teams as well.
Mizzou cover, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
Mizzou should have won that game.
Yeah, it was Mizzou cover.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Threw a pick on the last with 30 seconds left.
Not good. And locally, Jones, Boston College.
Ooh, good squad.
No, not. Ooh. Not a good squad. They lost to Clemson 41-10 at the Heights. They are now 1-5. But Bill O'Brien after the game was saying it's all my fault.
Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, that's what we're asking about.
Yeah, guys, it starts with me.
Right.
Yeah, no,
you're
right.
Doing terribly.
Yeah, you're not very good at this.
You're a horrible team. Although I did see they had the odds for the next Penn State coach because the biggest news in college football was James Franklin fired.
Do not tell me he's on that.
He was second. It was Matt Rhule and Bill O'Brien. I'm like, hey, Penn State.
Yeah, you can
figure it out.
You can definitely do better than that. Matt Rule?
Matt Rule's not wouldn't be bad.
He's been a fine college coach. He was a disaster in the NFL. Yeah. Where is he? Is he in Nebraska?
Nebraska.
Yeah. Have they been good?
I think they're ranked. Or
okay, all right. Maybe. All right, so Matt Rule, fine. Matt Rule and Bill O'Brien, I feel like you should be able to do better than
Matt
both of those.
Rule and Bill O'Brien were the top choices. I'm like, just keep James Franklin. No, he was a
Nebraska's
mess.
25.
Okay.
25. Right.
Just sneak it in there.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm trying to use the grab bag.
Monday Night Football doubleheader. We already mentioned that a couple of games tonight. How much are you going to watch from the 7:15 game? You have the Buffalo Bills and the Atlanta Falcons, then 8:15 Bears Commanders.
So that's the better game, but and I actually think that's a pretty good game on paper. The Bills one I'll watch a lot of, though, because we said this earlier.
Yeah.
Bills lose tonight
yeah.
to Atlanta, who's pulled some weird wins out of nowhere. They beat Minnesota earlier yeah. this year. They're coming off a bye week. If the Bills lose that game, you're in first place all alone.
So I asked you this question before, but I want your answer. So in my matchup with Davey Eyeballs in my lifelong league, I have a
thought. I loved it.
You yeah. have a chance in that one.
So I have a chance. Yeah, I've already... Once Cam Scadaboo had 30 on Thursday night, I conceded the game.
Because one of your
did you not get my phone call? I called to concede.
One of your fantasy matchups is done. I know that.
Yeah, that so one's over.
Okay, so that one's done.
They even have a chance.
You have another one, though, with Davey that's still
one.
In play. Okay,
my yeah. lifelong league, Davey Eyeballs has Josh Allen and Rome Odunze. No PPR, standard scoring.
Okay. I'll knock down a little bit.
I have yep. Kyle Pitts Sr.
Okay.
Getting a spot start for the injured Brock Bowers.
Sure.
And... 30 points.
You got a 30-point lead with Kyle Pitts Sr. against Allen and Odunze?
Yeah, I don't love my chances.
I would rather have Allen and Odunze.
So yeah. would I.
Yeah.
And I love the chase. I love playing. When you're on Monday Night Football, the chase is always better. I feel like you're better off chasing someone down for the win than playing like defense.
Yeah, you want last ups.
I don't like my chances.
No, I don't love it.
It's a pain in the ass.
Grab bag on Jones and Keefe.
All right, we have Day Bruins action. They currently trail the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-0.
Very plowed and pleased.
I'm not though so plowed and pleased about this one.
No, me neither.
Down 2-0, first period.
Now that yeah? is the most dangerous lead in hockey to protect, Keith.
Oh yeah, good luck to
so
the Lightning.
It's pretty smart for the Bruins to let the Lightning score the second one. So now right. they're That's on the defensive. But I'm a little disappointed it's Corpy today. Why wasn't yeah. today Swayman?
I don't know.
We said this last week. We were going through.
Maybe he's like Brian Baio during the day.
Ooh.
Stinks during the day.
But I was.
Possible?
I would have gone back to Swayman for this one and then saved splitting them up for the back-to-backs this weekend. Personally.
New TV show last night, The Chair Company, starring Tim Robinson. And let me be the first to tell you, fantastic.
Yeah, you liked it?
It's amazing. It's an amazing show. It's Tim Robinson. He also like wrote these episodes with his comedy partner, Zach Kanin, who I believe is from Newton. And so it's definitely a little bit more towards like the friendship, kind of like darker comedy, like weird. It's all weird comedy with Tim Robinson, but sort of a little bit more than like Detroiters.
Sure.
Which is sort of just like in your face funny. But it's 8 episodes in total. The first one premiered last night on HBO. Can't recommend it enough.
Okay.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Speaking of the Dork Podcast, Double Dork, tonight we are going to do Peacemaker Season 2. So if you watch that program, we'll have a breakdown of that. And we put a poll question up, 4 horror movies, pick one, and we're going to review it, like an old classic horror movie. And the winner on the Ooh. Poll question was From Dusk Till Dawn.
So you're going to rewatch that?
Yes, so we already did. Already rewatched it. We're going to talk about it tonight.
Oh,
so we urge other people, if you haven't, you can rewatch it.
That's the episode. My mistakes. Got it.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
nice.
So From Dusk Till Dawn.
Double dork with that. Good breakdown. Okay.
You got to fight for your right to grab bag.
All right, horror movie of the day. The recommendation is a movie called Green Room. Green Room.
Green Room.
Quick one-sentence plot line. A punk rock band is forced to fight for survival after witnessing an act of violence at a skinhead bar. This movie came out in 2015. It is a excellent horror movie. It is also available on Tubi, like most great things are.
Yeah.
So check it out. Check it out on Tubi.
Won't cost you a thing.
You won't be disappointed.
Okay.
No grab bag.
You've seen me without my helmet since I swore the creed.
I am not a
grab bag.
All right, let's check out, Jones, who the top Major League Baseball performer was from Sunday, October 12th. Was it Cal Raleigh?
Yeah, probably.
Big dumper, 2-for-4 home run. Was it Randy Arozarena? 0-for-4, run scored, 2 steals.
Nice.
Was it George Springer? 1-for-4 with a home run.
Springer leadoff dinger, yeah.
Was it Bryce Miller? 6 innings pitched, 1 earned, 3 Ks. Or was it Kevin Gausman? 5 2/3, 2 earned runs, 5 Ks.
Give me the dumper.
Okay.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random Brandon Phillips,
Eduardo Nunez,
Curtis Luskanic,
Baseball Player of the Day.
All right, this random baseball player spent 9 years in the majors, played for 3 different teams, the Chicago Cubs, the LA Dodgers, and the Miami Marlins. He was a right-handed pitcher.
Okay.
Where he was a reliever and a closer for about half his career, a one-time All-Star, and in a different season, finished 26th in the MVP race.
Okay, so one All-Star year and then another year where he got a down-ballot MVP vote.
That's right.
Where was he an All-Star?
He was an All-Star on the north side of Chicago.
Okay.
The Chicago Cubs.
All-star reliever.
Yeah.
Perhaps closer.
Yeah.
With the Cubs.
Right.
What was the year? Give me a year on that.
So he broke into the majors in 06, MVP votes in 07, All-star in 08, but then didn't really become the closer until like 10, 11, 12. He had his career high in single season high was 38 saves. He also had a 34 save season. Then finished his career with Miami after a stop with the Dodgers. Must have been a trade deadline acquisition, I'm assuming.
Huh.
Pitched a few playoff games. He was with Chicago in 07-08 in the playoffs and then with the Dodgers in 13. And if asked to, would dig in from the right side.
Okay,
yeah, I don't know if he had a lot of hits.
Well, NL. But yeah, NL. I don't know how often his spot was coming up in the lineup. Probably not
$23.7 million in his bank account. He was also, this is a deep cut, he was signed as a free agent by the Red Sox in 2016 in February, but was released in March.
And that was like end of his career.
That was like an acquisition. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was like 2 years after he had ever played. Text line does have it. It's not Steve Cishek.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
That is a great guess. He probably was a one-time.
He said Twitch chat does have it?
No. Text line has it. Twitch, text I don't see it unless it's scrolled up.
It. Oh, Carlos Marmol?
He got it!
Did I say that right?
Manager now, right? Or was it? Or he was the manager for the Cardinals?
Carlos Marmol. He's a manager?
I think he was the manager for the Cardinals.
No, but he came up and was like throwing heat, like a young K-Rod.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize it took him that took him that long to be the closer.
Yeah, he is.
And then the Red Sox had a share. I'm sure I was talking myself into that. If they had a share of him in like a spring training late in the
season. I don't think he's the manager of anything.
Oh, different Marmol. Apparently this one's Oliver.
Oh, Ollie Marmol.
Can't get your Marmol straight?
Sorry.
Ollie Marmol. Not to be confused with Carlos Marmol.
Carlos Marmol. That's who we're talking about. Marmol. He is 42 years young.
Wow, still a young man.
Yeah, he's got plenty of life in front of him.
Well, so he's made that $23 million or whatever it was, but there's a lot of life.
Oh,
he could make a lot more.
He could double it if he invests properly.
If he calls the right people
and
invests in the proper things, you know.
Sky's the limit for Marmol.
Hopefully he got in early with NVIDIA.
Yeah.
He could really do well.
That'd be nice.
So he took
the Hawktua coin, though. Lost it all.
Okay, so that is our random ball player each and every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keith.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, are you ready for the clip du jour?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, of course, a Patriots Monday. We got a chance to talk with tight end Hunter Henry.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise. We wasted the good surprise on you.
Y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, once again, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised you've ever been, 1, you weren't surprised at all. How surprised were you when Ashley Simpson was caught lip-syncing during a performance on Saturday Night Live?
Golly, guys, I don't even know if I remember that.
1 to 85.
Ashley Simpson, 40.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
All right, well, just know we're keeping track of all of these, Hunter.
I think it ended her career.
On a big board somewhere.
That's Ashley.
That's hard to come back from. Yeah. That's true.
I don't even know if I remember that guy.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. We're trying to figure out the scale. This is part of the questioning. We should, ahead of time, without giving away what the question is like to the listener, just be like, guess what his number is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would have guessed for this one, it would have been like 10, 12. Because maybe it wasn't really on his radar.
Yeah.
But he was like, man, I don't remember 40. Like middle of the surprise. Like he was as surprised by Ashley Simpson lip syncing.
Has he used 40 before? We should make sure he
has. No, he did 40.
Six cents. Right. So it's equally as surprising. We got to make sure we got to be like, you already took that number, Hunter, different number.
You used it.
Yeah.
The scale's the same.
Used up
well, no, that's fine. They can be the exact same amount of surprise.
Be equally amount of surprise.
I mean, the scale goes to 85.
Now, Andy Hart is here. You seem very stunned by that answer.
Well, I feel like you ever have a teacher that you never really get a feel for what they're looking for? That's
sure.
That's
most of my teachers. I was going to say most of my academic career. Yeah.
How can you not remember something and be kind of surprised by it?
Right.
It's either, or is he saying he's surprised now to even hear about it?
Maybe.
It's very weird.
It is. It's tough to keep track of, but that's why we do it.
Now I'm starting to think he just throws random numbers out there to get it over with.
Well, I think he just wants to just end the interview
just
and just give us a
stop.
Number.
Whatever, we'll
but
stop.
But Chris
this.
Rock getting slapped by Will Smith was an 85.
So we did.
That resonated.
That was an 85. The M. Night Shyamalan twist in Sixth Sense was like a 40. There's another one that was in the 40s.
Kim K. and Chris Humphrey was a 10.
A 10.
Oh, yeah. That's the other end. That's as low as we've gone. Yeah.
Them getting divorced.
I assume that meant he didn't really remember or care about that.
No, it just wasn't surprising. It's a celebrity marriage.
She's like, no, I expected that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was ready for that.
Maybe. There's a lot going on there. I don't know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.